Praise the Lord. Good morning. It's great to see you all here. Hallelujah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. That's what I was meant to say. Well, for me, it's morning. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to open in prayer as we come around the Bible this afternoon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God and my King. Thank you, Lord, that through the precious blood of the Messiah, we can come to you, Lord God, as we go through your word this afternoon, Lord God. So open our ears, open our eyes, Lord God, open our hearts to receive from you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would be preeminent in all things, Lord God, that you would be exalted in all things, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you are with us, Lord God, and the God who is with us, Lord God, is the same God who indeed watches over Israel, is the same God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, is the same God who is on his way back, Lord God. And we know, Yeshua, that you are the Lord God of Israel, and when you return, you are coming back to your land, and you are coming back to Yerushalayim, Lord God. So, Lord, we look forward to that day, Lord God. And, Lord, I pray that each of us would have an anticipation and excitement, Lord God, in a sense, Lord God, in spite of the tragedy that we see happening, unfolding with Israel and her enemies, Lord God. Lord God, may our focus and our hearts be saying, Abba, Father, Maranatha, come, Lord. I pray this in your name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise, Lord. Well, I'm going to look into Luke 21 in a moment, Luke chapter 21, but on the way here, and it's something which sort of been on my mind for a couple of weeks now, and it's actually Amos. And I thought it's interesting that Amos, we have a well-known passage. I suppose chapter 3 of Amos deals with the fact that the 12 tribes of Israel are guilty of sin. God is going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. He's going to judge the children of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the Jewish people. And in the midst of this, there are two things that come up. Verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so why was God going to judge Israel? Because they weren't walking in agreement with their God, with the Lord God of Israel, who gave them the Torah. That's the first point. But secondly, what I think it is quite interesting as well is verse 7. And it says this, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. And you know, a lot of people take it out of context, mean all kinds of things. But you know, if you know the word, if you know the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, then you already know it's been revealed to the prophets. And also, ultimately, what do all the prophecies of scripture point to? Well, they all point to Yeshua, the Messiah. And if you remember, what is the spirit of prophecy? Well, according to Revelation chapter 9, I think it's around about verse 10, the spirit of prophecy is actually, in actual fact, the testimony of Yeshua, the testimony of the Messiah. So when there's prophecies and that, in some way, everything in Scripture, and when anyone has a so-called word from the Lord, in some way, it should always point back to the Messiah of Israel. It should point back to our Saviour. And so with that in view, I'm going to turn to the words of our Lord, as I mentioned earlier, in Luke chapter 21. And so Yeshua is the prophet of prophets. You know, he's the prophet like unto Moses, but he's better than Moses because he's the one who actually gave us the scriptures, ultimately. And so when we come to these words, these are words he uttered during his first coming in his earthly ministry. And in actual fact, to understand Luke 21, you need to take Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13, and they give us a fuller picture of the Lord's teachings concerning the end times. So I'd encourage you to read those three chapters together. That's Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21, because they're all dealing from different angles, from different perspectives, with the same sermon that Yeshua gave in the Passion Week leading up to his crucifixion. But be that as it may, I'd encourage you to do that at home. So we're not going to do that today. So I'm just going to stick, by and large, in Luke chapter 21. Though I might later on go into other passages of Scripture, but I'll see how we are for time. Anyway, be that as it may, we've got the Lord's teaching concerning the end of the world and the second coming. And in verse 8, we read this. And this is what the Lord said to his disciples. And you know, he didn't just say it to his first century disciples. We follow the Messiah, and so we are disciples of the Lord today. So the Lord wants us to know these things, particularly as we near the coming of the Lord. And Yeshua said this. He said, take heed that you be not deceived. And the fact of the matter is, the Lord does not want his disciples to be deceived. Don't be deceived on what's going on in the world. You know, he wants us not to be deceived. He doesn't want us to be led astray. He doesn't want us to be led astray into error. He doesn't want us to fall away from the truth. And in actual fact, the New Testament Greek word underlying deceived there is passive tense, and it literally means do not, you know, not to be led astray. not to be led into error. The word planao, and it occurs in passive here, and then verse 8 continues, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, I am Mashiach, I am Christ, I am the Anointed One, and the time draws near, go you not therefore after them, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by. In other words, the end is not yet. And you know, Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 puts it this way, you shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. And we're surely living in that time right now. So if we think, what do we have happening with Ukraine and Russia? We have a war. In Sudan, we have a war. And now we've had what's broken out in Israel, particularly from October the 7th to the present. Or whatever, we've seen war erupt in the Middle East. We're seeing particular nations arising against Israel. And I'm sure we all know what happened on October the 7th. I'm sure we all know 1,400 Jewish people, Israelis, were murdered. I'm sure we know that 160 people at a so-called peace concert were murdered. I'm sure we know that over 3,000 people were injured and wounded in some way. I'm sure we know that, you know, it started off, if you remember, at the beginning of October 7th, it was 100 people who were taken hostages. Then it went up to 160 taken hostages. Then it went up to 200 taken hostages. The last I heard, it's somewhere over 220 people have been taken hostage, and that includes many small babies. Many people who survived the Holocaust are in this situation, being held by this terrorist organisation. But before the atrocities that have happened in Israel, before October the 7th happened, and some people have called it the Simchat Torah War or whatever, but be that as it may, what did we have before that? Well, we had false prophets. We can see that in verse 8. It talks about many saying, I am Christ, I'm the Anointed One, I'm the Messiah. Before this happened, I believe it was on the 23rd of September 2023, there was a well-known false prophet who said there's going to be peace in the Middle East. He prophesied basically that there was going to be a deal broker between Israel and Saudi Arabia. We're going to be instrumental in the brokering of this deal, and it would be unprecedented peace for the whole of that region. Israel would be a fool not to take and agree to that treaty or that peace covenant which was coming. Basically, two-state solution. And there'd be absolute peace. But what happened? The exact opposite. So you had this guy prophesying peace on the 23rd of September roundabout, and you can see it on various YouTube channels and so forth, and yet the exact opposite happened. Who was that prophet who said that, or so-called prophet in inverted commas? Well, I'm sure most of us know Kosti Hinn. Well, it was Kosti Hinn's uncle, Benny. It was this guy who prophesied, he had a big map of the Middle East and so forth. The exact opposite happened, and if Benny Hinn, a lot of these people knew the Bible, they would know that any covenant that Israel enters into is ultimately going to be a covenant of death. Yeah. That's what Scripture tells us. And in fact, if we remember, before the last US election in 2020, how many people prophesied that Donald Trump was going to be president? And yet people still follow these people. And I don't get, you know, a lot of Christians think these people are fantastic, and they still watch their YouTube channels. They still give Macy's Ministries to people who claim to be men of God. Now, in these days, we need to take heed that no one deceives us. You know, what did the Bible say concerning the last days? Many shall come in Yeshua's name, saying, I am Messiah, I'm the Anointed One, I'm the Gifted One. When we see that, we know the time is drawing near, and we're told explicitly by the Lord, do not go after them. That's what we're told explicitly in it. A lot of people do. But be that as it may, verse 9 tells us we should not be terrified. Don't be frightened. Don't be scared, because these things must come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The end is not yet. The end is not coming imminently. We're to be aware of what's going on right now with Israel and the whole world, but the end is not yet. And we need to take confidence in the Lord. So we're told, don't be terrified. It continues in verse 10. Then he, the Messiah, said unto them, nation shall rise against nation. Literally, ethnos epi ethnos. That is, ethnic group against ethnic group. Or tribal group against tribal group. Or culture against culture. What do we have going throughout the world right now? We have culture against culture. We've seen it on the streets of London and throughout the world. With the pro-Palestinian marches. And we've seen the demonization of the Jewish community in this land. Those who side with the Jewish community are shut down. That's what we have happening in this nation, in the UK today and throughout the world. We've seen it. I'm sure most of us are aware of that. So we're living in interesting times, which are going to get more and more intense as we approach the return of the king. It talks about kingdom against kingdom in verse 10 as well. What do we see today? The Western world against the Eastern world. We see China and the USA vying to be top dog, but vying to be the top dominant power over the world in this period of history we're in. We see what's happening with Europe and the West in relation to the Eastern world. We've seen the ascendancy of Russia and China, and even Iran joining in a sense with Russia and China, because if you remember, Iran is supplying drones and things to the Russians. Iran is supplying cheap oil to the Chinese, and the Chinese have their eyes on Taiwan. So we're seeing things happening at that level, and so we're seeing one axis of power set up against another axis of power, and so we're seeing Putin and his gang in fear of what's coming. They're in fear of a new world order, if you will, which is being set up by the Western powers, and so they've got their alternative. And so we're seeing this vine of two kingdoms right now, this vine between East and West. And it carries on in verse 11. It says, there shall be great earthquakes in diverse and various places. When October the 7th happened, on that very day, what happened? And there were loads of things which followed on from that. Well, there was a massive earthquake in Afghanistan. 2,400 people were killed in that. Over 18 villages were levelled on that day, razed to the ground. Loss of life. And so forth. That happened on October the 7th, and there were a series of earthquakes after that, which has carried on, tremors and so forth. That's what's happening right now. It carries on in verse 11. Quite depressing, isn't it, when you look at this? But don't worry, it gets better, praise God. You know, our king's coming. It carries on. In verse 11, it speaks of famine. So Lord speaks of famines. And right now, there's a global food crisis, and nearly 350 million people around the globe are experiencing extreme hunger. Almost 49 million are on the brink of famine right now. We're heading to the times that Messiah spoke of, and it's not just a localised thing. So some people will try and say, this is just local to the land of Israel, this is just local to the Middle East. Well, no, the Lord was speaking about the world, and we're suddenly seeing on a worldwide scale these things affecting, to some degree, all nations. You know, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Afghanistan, Yemen, Syria, and other countries are facing extreme famine right now. That's where we are in regard to the coming of the king. And then it talks about, the Lord talks about pestilences. We've had, since the late 70s and early 80s, HIV or AIDS. That's been going, that hasn't stopped. And you know, up to date, around 40 to 50 million people thus far have died from AIDS, and around 45 million people are living with HIV today, and that's according to the World Health Organization. We had the Ebola outbreak between 2013 and 2016 roundabout. A lot of people got up in arms about that, got fearful. If you remember, the turn of last century, 1918, I wasn't around then, and I'm sure most of us weren't, but 1918, around about that time, we had the Spanish flu epidemic, and so some estimates range from 50 to 100 million people killed in just a few years. What we've had right in present, there's been outbreaks periodically of bird flu over in Asia, and that's spreading towards Africa and Europe. And so there's a fear from scientists that in actual fact, this bird flu might jump to mammals and to humans. And so these are real threats happening right now. We had COVID-19. Now, some people believe it was a con, some people don't. That's not the issue. The issue is there was some kind of pandemic, and it was used to cause lockdowns and cause fear in people's lives. You know, need I say more about pandemics and diseases and pestilences and whatever? And then we've got an interesting one that Lord mentions. He says this, that there shall be fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. You know, I believe that refers to things happening with the moon, the sun, the stars and so forth. Literally, the celestial heaven, if you will. But I find it interesting that in the last few decades, there's been an increase in what people have called, or military have called, unidentified aerial phenomena. Or unidentified anomalous phenomena. We know them better as UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Now, in the past, those kinds of things, people would think, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. But what's happened today is most of these reports are coming from military pilots. They're coming from people who are trained to deal with heavy G-forces. They're coming from people who have particular recording devices, and they're actually capturing these images on film. And the US government are so concerned about it, they've set up a website called All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or AARO for short. And I've checked it out, and they give you the explanation. Some of them are totally explainable. So it's to do with light, refraction, things like that. But some of them, the military have said, we don't know what this is. And you can watch some of these things. That's All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. So the US government is concerned about it. Now, as a believer, we know these aren't extraterrestrials. We know these aren't from outer space. Ultimately, we're dealing with demonic delusions that Satan wants to use on the world to cause people to go away from the truth of the gospel. And so, in actual fact, there's a spiritual element in this. But be that as it may, these things have increased. And I just find it interesting that the Spectator magazine even had an article about this, taking it seriously. That was a few months back. But the reality is, with all this going on, with all these things happening, the end is not yet. The end isn't yet. And you know, Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 tells us that all these things are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pains or birth contractions. All of these things happening, in some sense, signposts and point to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, of Yeshua, and to the end of the world. Now, it doesn't mean the end of the world is going to happen next week or next year. We might have to wait another 100 years. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we're to take note of what's happening right now. That's really where we're at. We're experiencing birth contractions. And I think I've explained it before in terms of Braxton Hicks, that throughout you get Braxton Hicks. You know, false contractions point to the big ones to come. And I think we need to be aware of that, because have the contractions actually started leading up to the birth? I can't dogmatically say. But what I can say is we're to be aware of the times we're living in and to take heed that we're not deceived. That's kind of where we're at. Things are going to happen before the Lord returns in glory and in splendor. And while we're experiencing in some way the beginning of sorrows maybe, or birth contractions, we're not going to know. You know, some people have said about what's happening with Israel. Is that the fulfillment of Psalm 83? Is that the fulfillment or the putting together of the Gog and Magog war? Well, I've got to say, we won't really know until we get there, until the dust settles a bit, until we're through what's happening right now. We're not going to know. But as saints of the living God, we're to pray for Israel. We're to pray for what's happening right now. We're to pray for the IDF and for wisdom for the Knesset and for the Lord to get the glory and to get the victory somehow in this circumstance, that many Jewish lives and Gentile lives turn to the Messiah. But be that as it may, as we approach the day of the Lord, what is going to happen? We see it happening right now. All of world attention, everyone's attention is going back to Israel. And that began 1948, May the 14th, when the Jewish people came back to their land, the land that belongs to the Lord. And at some point in the future, all nations, all people of the world will focus on Jerusalem. That's where all the attention is headed. It's headed towards Israel and particularly to Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And chapter Luke 21 from verse 20 onwards indicates this. In verse 20, it tells us this. It says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. And you know, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 indicates that the Temple Mount, that is the holy place which is in Jerusalem, will become the focal point of the entire world. That's where we're headed to. But be it as it may, what does the Bible tell us concerning Jerusalem? Well, turn to Zechariah chapter 12 with me on that, please. So Zechariah, the book of Zechariah chapter 12. And I'm going to read from verse 1. So Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1, and it says this: the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. So this is the burden of the word of the Lord that God has for Israel, and the Lord who's speaking, this is the Lord God of Israel. And notice what he says. It says this: so the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man which within him. So the God of Israel is the creator God. The God of Israel is the one who created both things seen and unseen. He's the one by which all things hold together. We only exist because God allows it. And in actual fact, we exist because God loves his creation. That's the one we serve. And this God has associated himself with a particular piece of land and a particular people. That land being Israel and the people being the Jewish people. And it continues in verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. So the Lord is saying he will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I, you know, and this is the Lord speaking, that's the Lord who will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So Jerusalem is going to be a cup of trembling unto all people round about it, in its local vicinity. But not only that, it's going to be a burdensome stone for all people. Not just some, all people are going to be burdened in some way by Jerusalem, and that burden themselves, and those people that burden themselves with Jerusalem will be cut in pieces. They're going to be lacerated and come to extreme harm. That's what Scripture tells us in concern to how the nations will handle Jerusalem. Why is God so concerned about Jerusalem? Because the Lord has set his name on Jerusalem, and he's chosen the temple mount to place his name there forever, perpetually. That's why Jerusalem is so important, and the United Nations refuse to recognise Jerusalem as Israel's capital. They refuse it, whereas every single other nation is allowed to choose its own capital. But the United Nations and the UN General Assembly Resolution, ES-10/19, have said, not basically, in a nutshell, Israel can't decide its own capital. That's a UN resolution, while every other nation can. So this nation, we chose London. France chose Paris. The US chose Washington and so forth, but Israel doesn't have that right, even though it's a nation. But ultimately, who owns the land of Israel?
God.
It's God's land. It's God's land. He gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the descendants of Jacob, who were the Jewish people. And Psalm 105, verses 6 onwards, make this clear. And I'm just going to turn there briefly, because I don't, for the life of me, understand how someone who goes to church or who's a Christian, they say they love God's word, how they can turn around and say that the covenant has been, the Jewish people have been superseded by a Gentile church, and God no longer has any use for the Jewish people. Well, that flies in the face of the clear teaching of God's word, that it's a perpetual covenant. And Psalm 105 clearly brings this out. And that covenant isn't just with a spiritual people. This covenant is with a physical people, this physical posterity of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and 12 sons of Jacob who became the nation of Israel. And in verse 6 of Psalm 105, it says this: O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, he's chosen. And you know, some people say that Israel emphasizes the spiritual, Jacob emphasizes the physical. Well, this is in regards to the physical. So whatever argument people want to make, this isn't dealing with a spiritual people, this is dealing with a physical people, a people according to the flesh. And we read this: O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, he's chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever. So he's remembered his covenant forever. Forever means forever. I can't see what else that means. It carries on. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Notice, it's Jacob, Israel. Covenant forever. There's no cessation. That covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has not come to an end. And notice, that covenant includes the land. You can't separate the two. Ultimately, it includes the land. The land is the Lord's and shall not be sold forever. And one day, all the nations are going to come under God's judgment for how they've divided and parted the land of Israel. That's all right.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm crazy.
That's all right. That's all right. It's fine. And you know, that includes Jerusalem, how Jerusalem has been divided up at the moment as well. Interestingly, how many nations does the United Nations represent?
193.
It's 193. It's 193 nations. Out of how many nations? 195. So you've got 193 nations represented in the United Nations out of 195 nations in the world. What are the two countries which are not members of the United Nations, but in actual fact, they have non-member observer status? So there's two so-called countries.
Palestine is one.
Yeah, state of Palestine.
North Korea.
No.
Israel.
No.
North Korea.
You're never going to guess. The Vatican. The Holy See, the Vatican, because if you remember, the Vatican in its own right is seen as a country. And they've got their own little flag with the Keys of St. Peter. So those are the only two nations which aren't part of the United Nations, but they've got observer status. In other words, what I'm saying is, that all of the nations on earth, all 195 countries, in one way or another, are going to be answerable to God concerning his city, Jerusalem. I think that's awesome. So when the Bible says all nations in Zechariah means all nations. Every nation in some way is going to be answerable to God. That includes this nation, the UK, are going to be answerable to God for how the land was divided, and particularly in relation to Jerusalem in one way or another. You know, interestingly, in light of what happened on October the 7th, a few weeks back, with the barbaric terrorist atrocities carried out by Hamas, what else happened a week before? Well, you had some Jewish people went inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque and prayed. So they went in there and prayed. Jewish people aren't allowed in Al-Aqsa Mosque to pray. That wasn't the only reason the war kicked off. But in light of that, what was Hamas's terrorist operation called on October the 7th? Where it was called Operation Al-Aqsa Flood or Operation Al-Aqsa Deluge. That was one of the excuses. We know really it was to do with Iran wanting to make sure that Israel didn't normalise relationships with the surrounding Arab nations, particularly with Saudi Arabia. Be that as it may, part of the pretense was that Operation Al-Aqsa Deluge. It always goes back in some way to Jerusalem. The reality is, as the Bible tells us and indicates, all of the world's attention is going back to Israel. And we can see that beginning now. We can see that happening the whole world. Whether it's China, China sent six naval ships towards the Middle East, and last I heard, which was last week, they've gone more to Kuwait. Why have they gone there? Because they want to make sure they get their oil, probably. But it's interesting how everything is building up together. You know, and that's where we're headed to. What do we read? Getting back to Luke chapter 21, I'm going to be finishing very soon. But Luke chapter 21 and verse 25 tells us this. It says, there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and men, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You know, the whole point being, verse 25 tells us that all nations are going to be distressed and have perplexity. That word perplexity in New Testament Greek is aporia. Aporia literally means no way out. So the nations are going to see what's happening, and they're going to see there's no way out of the problems which are coming upon the earth. There's no way out of, what do we have? Concerns about the climate. We come to that point, nations can see no way out of their concerns for the environment, for the climate. What do we see happening bit by bit? Nations seeing problems with their economies. We're seeing nations having no way out, really, out of the situation in the Middle East. Nations are in perplexity now. But you know, praise the Lord, for those who know their God, there is a way out. There is a way out. The only way out, who is Yeshua, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And you know, what did the Lord say? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, what are we promised? You shall be saved. Not you might be, not you probably could be. No, there's absolute certainty you shall be saved. And so who are we? Well, we're ambassadors for the King of Kings and God of Glory. And while the world is going down the tube, does it make sense? Or down the sink, down the pipe, or whatever you want to call it, wherever the world's up to, as believers in the Lord, we have a firm word of truth, a firm word of that we can stand on, and that word is the Bible, which points us to the fact Yeshua is on his way. He's coming.
Amen.
He's the Prince of Peace. So don't lose heart. Yes, these things are going to happen. Yes, there's going to be birth pains. We don't know if this is the fulfillment of prophecy or not, but we know it's pointing to the fact the King of Israel is on his way. He's coming soon. And you know, I'd encourage anyone, if you've got fear for your family, maybe you've got family over in Israel, maybe you've got friends over in Israel, I'm sure in some way we all have, well, I'd encourage you, take those fears and worries to the Lord. The things that you are worried about, the Lord is concerned about, and we know that ultimately we are in a spiritual warfare. There's no sitting on the sidelines as children of the living God, born again by his Holy Spirit. When we put our faith in Yeshua, know this, we're involved in the spiritual warfare, and in some ways, I think Mervyn Tilley has said it before, that is the most important part of the warfare of what's going on with Israel today. And in Philippians, I'm just going to end on this, It tells us this in chapter 4 of Philippians. We're told this, and I'm always find this astounding, because if we remember, Paul, Rabbi Saul of Tarsus, was incarcerated, he was in prison, under a terrible situation, chained between probably a couple of Roman guards, no sanitation, branded a criminal for sharing the good news of the Jewish Messiah with Gentiles and so forth. Well, he wrote this: rejoice in the Lord always, it's verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We're to rejoice because the king is on his way. Verse 5 continues, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, the shalom of God, the completeness of God, the security we can have in God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Messiah, Yeshua. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace, the God of shalom, shall be with you. That's God's promise to his people. If you have any anxiety, take it to the Lord. Any fear, take it to the Lord, and think those things which are good. The Messiah is on his way. I praise God. So I'm going to land right there. Praise God. And I'll just close in prayer before we get ourselves ready to have, what is it, tea and coffee and so forth. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God and my King. I pray, Lord, that what I've shared as best I can, Lord God, would help your people here this afternoon, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us be encouraged in you, Lord God. Strengthened in you, Lord God. And may our peace be in you as well, Lord God. That, Lord, when there are uncertainties in the world, Lord God, the one thing we can be sure of is you, the rock of our salvation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. I pray for those Israelis right now in their land who are fighting for their borders, fighting for their survival, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, you'll be with them. I pray this will be an opportunity for, Lord God, many Jewish people and Gentiles to come to know you, Yeshua. I pray this will be used to bring many souls into your kingdom, one way or another, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that there will be a spiritual awakening in the United Kingdom, Lord God. And then, Lord, I pray that those who love you, those who are born again, those who are part of the congregation of the Lord, the congregation of the Messiah, would seek your face and seek your deliverance on behalf of Israel. I pray this in your name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Amen.